Ramsey TV.
How do I manage to look this great at 6 o'clock in the morning? Your guess is as good as mine. Nevertheless, I do, just the way it is. I have to live with it, and so do you. This is Martin Zender, broadcasting from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I have some really interesting advice for you today. Many people would call this advice the most unscriptural advice they've ever heard. You will never hear what I am about to say in a church, in a institutional Bible study, anywhere. You won't hear it anywhere. Probably MCTV is the only place you will hear it. No, correction. You will hear it in the book of Romans, the most radical piece of writing ever presented to humanity via the Holy Spirit of God. This is God speaking in Romans. Yes, Paul was dictating this letter, the Apostle Paul, to his scribe Tertius. But Paul was not originating these words. You have to understand that. He was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He didn't come up with this. He didn't submit it to his friends to see what they thought of it. He wrote it, perhaps not even realizing the full import of what he was writing. But this is my advice to you. I want you to walk around today and tomorrow and the next day and the day after that, and I want you to pretend that you are a righteous person. I want you to pretend that you've already been resurrected. I want you to pretend that you no longer sin. Now, that seems like bad advice because some people do that, and it's because of sheer ignorance and arrogance. And you can tell because they're insufferable. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing this based on a scriptural revelation. I am talking about pretending you're already resurrected, pretending you no longer sin, pretending you're righteous. Go about today, tomorrow, and the next day doing that. But the people around you, they will not confuse you with people who are arrogant because they're soulish or because they don't have the Spirit of God, because something will be radically different when you do this as opposed to someone else doing it based on their own self-confidence, their own continuous state of being an asshole. But this is not what this is. Now I'm going to go to Romans to start off with. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 7. I'm just going to give you two passages of scripture. It's going to be a short show, but it's going to be profound truth. In Romans 7, we know that the Apostle Paul is struggling with the law. He finds himself in a situation that many of us find ourselves. He wants to do the right thing, but he can't. He tries real hard, but the very thing he tries not to do, he does. And his intentions are great, but the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. That's the problem. But there is an escape from this. And I'm going to give you that escape this morning. In Romans 7, Paul sums up his struggle, verse 21, when he says, I'm finding the law that at my willing to be doing the ideal, the evil is lying beside me. Paul makes an excuse for this. He says, well, I'm gratified with the law of God. Don't get me wrong, Paul says. I am gratified with the law of God. I know the law of God is pure and it's holy. The man within, of course, convinces me of this. But, verse 23, I am observing a different law in my members, that is, in my body. There's a different thing going on in my body. What is it? It is that which wars against the law of his mind, Paul's mind understands intellectually that he has been justified, declared righteous due to the blood of his Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. The problem is, he looks down at his body and he realizes that his body is not getting the memo. And this is leading him into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. This is Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to know this. And he wants us to know it from the pen of a man who is probably, at the time he's writing this, the most spiritual, the most cognizant of God man on the planet. A man who has seen Jesus Christ, who has heard directly from Jesus Christ. This is the cream of the spiritual crop, the pinnacle of all spiritual revelation. That's why God chose this man to do it, a man who had actually spoken with Jesus Christ, who was chosen above all the people on the planet Earth at the time, 300 million people, to transmit a new message concerning grace. That guy. He comes to the conclusion in Romans 7:24 that he's a wretched man. A wretched man am I. And he, of course, wants to get the hell out of it. What will rescue me from this body of death? You know, I've been mocked for wanting to be snatched away. I've been mocked for wanting to get off the planet, for wanting my trials to stop. Don't let anybody mock you. Paul himself is looking for a rescue. What will rescue me out of this body of death? Now, I have a message for you this morning. And it's that you don't have to wait for the snatching away to be free of sin and death and to feel how good it feels as much as you can while you're in flesh to be resurrected, to be glorified. Intrigued? Here it comes. Wretched man am I, what will rescue me out of this body of death? Grace. In case you don't realize the definition of grace, it is favor granted to those who deserve the opposite. If you deserve something, then it's not grace. If you deserve God looking at you as justified and righteous, if you would happen somehow to deserve God refusing to bring any condemnation against you, no matter what you do. If you think you deserve that, then grace is off the table. That's the startling characteristic of grace. It comes to those who deserve the opposite. So then Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the shocking statement in verse 25. Consequently means that consequent to everything I have just stated in Romans 7, like the end result. Here's the end result. That's another way to say it. Consequently. The end result is that I myself, with a mind, am slaving for God's law. All right, you already said that, Paul. With the mind, you're slaving for God's law, but you can't do it. But at least now, you have been perfected. No, because look what he says next. With my mind, I'm slaving for God's law, yet with the flesh for sin's law. In other words, it appears at first glance that nothing has changed with this man. He just said earlier that with his mind he's slaving for the righteousness of God, slaving for God's law, yet with the flesh for sin's law. Then he cries out to God and wants to be rescued from it. And he is rescued from it. The answer is grace. And the result of that is that nothing has changed with what he does. He's still wanting to do the right things and still not able to do the right things. But he's been delivered. And the question you might ask is, well, what has he been delivered from? He's still the same guy. No, he's not. Because his big problem was, earlier in verse 7, I'm observing a different law in my members, warring with the law of my mind. Warring. There's a war going on. The dramatic thing that has changed between verse 23 and verse 25 is that Paul refuses anymore to recognize this problem as a problem. No longer recognizes it as a war. The war is over. This is liberation. Because the war is over, even while you're still having these problems, the war is over. You no longer have to fight it. That sounds unscriptural, unspiritual, and yet it is coming to us from God. God is telling us this. God is saying that the war is over. In spite of what you are seeing in your flesh, you no longer have to war with it. And I'll now go to, this is my key text, but that was the warm-up, that was necessary prelude. In the previous chapter, Romans 6, Paul talks about being crucified together with Christ. Our old humanity, he says, Romans 6:6, our old humanity was crucified together with him, with Christ, that the body of sin may be nullified. May be nullified. Our body of sin is not yet nullified. Paul proves that in Romans chapter 7. It will be nullified, but it's not yet. So this is advice of how to survive in this interval. We're in an unusual interval between being declared righteous by God, but having our bodies not yet changed so that they stop sinning. When our bodies stop sinning, when we are made immortal, none of this advice will be necessary. But see, God wants us to get a head start on all of this. We, above all people, should have a head start on what resurrection is, on what resurrection will be, on what immortality will be. It's like God is giving us this incredible gift. It's called a head start. I want you to get a head start on the liberation. Well, how do we do that? We're still sinning. We still see this law in our members. God says, I don't want you to consider that a war anymore. In fact, I'm going to go next level and tell you what I want you to do. And this is the revelation. Romans 6:13. Present yourselves to God as if alive from among the dead. Present yourselves to God as if. Those two words, as if, both in the Greek, are the most incredible words you can read. Because God is telling you to pretend. When you were a kid, you walked around as if you were a fireman, as if you were a policeman. You went out on Halloween as if you were Frankenstein. You pretended. This belongs to childhood, right? No, this belongs to mature spirituality. This pertains to a mature walk in the Spirit in God, because God is telling us to walk as if resurrected from among the dead. We are supposed to walk around pretending. That's what it means. That's what as if means. Look, if we were constituted righteous, we've been declared righteous, but not yet constituted that way. If the body of sin has already been nullified, then this advice wouldn't be necessary. But as it has not been nullified yet, we're still mortals, and yet we have this great truth loaded upon us, put in our minds that we are righteous and justified. But we have this war. We see this war. Paul says, no, no longer consider this a war, because God has conquered it. Just walk by faith, not perception. Well, how do we live that out practically? Like this, Romans 6:13. Present yourselves to God as if resurrected from among the dead. Who is bold enough for this? It takes a load of the Spirit to present yourselves to God as if resurrected from among the dead. Like, you're good, you're fine, you're all right. This is the opposite of just hiding and being hideously ashamed and apologizing to God night and day and like crying and weeping and feeling guilty, guilty, guilty all the time. God doesn't want you to do that, because it's a slap in the face to Jesus Christ, who delivered you from this, who declares you righteous because of his blood. So here's how you practically walk it out. You present yourselves to God as if resurrected from among the dead. You pretend that it's already done. This is so bold, it's so daring, it's so out there that just to convince someone that God is good with this, it takes so much scriptural teaching to undo the lies we were raised with, that we constantly had to repent, constantly had to feel bad, constantly had to weep and beg God to be nice to us. No, God doesn't want that. It's an insult. What he wants you to do is to present yourselves to him as if it's already done, as if everything is already done. It's done, in fact. It just hasn't yet been manifested in act. But the fact is good enough for God, and he wants you to believe the fact and live the fact.